I take a virtual reality ride on a ride. Some good advice when it comes to those password security questions. Instagram gets rid of an interesting feature. And of course, your tech questions answered. What's going on? I'm Rich DeMuro. This is Rich on Tech, the podcast where I talk about the stuff I think you should know about happening in the tech world. And I answer all of those little questions that you send me through all the different ways you can send those to me. Joining me, as always, producer Megan. What's
Hello.
Up?
Oh, all the little questions.
Well, they're big questions.
Big questions.
Sent little ways. I don't know. There's big, little. Yeah. There's a play on words there, and I totally did not get it. But you were not with us last week.
I know.
The show was not the same.
That's so sad.
Lots of people emailed in wondering where you were.
I bet. It was probably my mom. Where'd she go?
Where have you seen Megan? Because she's been gone for a week now. I'm like, no, she's probably in some tropical place. Where do you want to share where you were?
Yeah, I was in Cabo in Mexico.
How is Cabo these days?
It's such a unique place.
Yeah.
Really fun, beautiful.
It's been a couple of weeks since I've been there.
Yeah, I think you need to go. I think you and your wife should go.
I would like to
go. Maybe don't bring your kids.
Oh, okay. We were thinking of that.
I mean, I feel like it's a fun place to just have a good time.
But a little let loose.
Yeah. It's like Vegas, but Mexico.
Oh, interesting. There's no gambling, though.
No.
Okay. You know, then I'm out.
Oh, okay. But you like tequila, maybe. They have
tequila. I might do that. We'll see.
Have a sip.
A sip.
Followed by a lot of water.
One little sip and then I'll pass out. Let's see. What should we talk about first this week? I guess
Instagram.
We'll talk about... Oh, you want to talk about the Instagram thing first?
Yes.
Okay. Let's talk about Instagram removing what I called the creepiest feature ever.
And I call it the most necessary feature.
So the Instagram, in case you did not know, they removed a feature this week called following. And I actually got a bunch of emails about this. Mm-hmm. And DMs on Instagram from people saying, where did this feature go? And I said, don't you watch the TV?
Yeah.
Or look at my tweets or look at my Instagram stories. I mean, we posted this. They don't. She's like, no. I was like, oh, okay. I don't know where to go from there. So Instagram ditches what's called the following tab. This was in your activity feed. So it's, look, you either knew about it or you didn't. You either used it or you didn't use it. It's the part next to the hearts where you look at all your likes and who's following you and who commented on your stuff. Next to that, you would see all the stuff that your friends were doing on Instagram.
Yeah.
And sometimes you would see some pretty interesting movements from your friends.
Pretty weird, you know.
Pretty weird. You basically learn what your friends are into.
It was very telling. Like, I don't know. Certain people, I was like, oh, okay. Like, just certain people, specifically men, liking like a lot of bikini
women,
model
bikini
stuff. And it's like, oh, okay. You know, I don't know. I feel like if you're like dating someone, that's kind of a nice feature to have, or it's stalking, whatever.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, okay, so two sides of this.
Yes.
So number one, do you think, by the way, Instagram said that nobody really cared about this or used it, which I don't know if that's true.
I feel like they're kicking themselves.
Here's what I think. Here's the reason why I think Instagram got rid of it. It was a very unprivate part of the site.
Yeah.
So when people are on Instagram, you can see who you're following. You can kind of see, like, now they've done the thing where, like, if I go to a picture that you've already liked, and you're my friend, mm-hmm. it'll put your name at the top and be like, Megan, like this picture. Or, like, I can see, you know, my friends that like that picture. So you're
right.
Like, oh, that's interesting. They follow this person too. But this was like one place where you can go and you can see like just everything they've liked in the past hour.
Yeah.
Now that's gone. So right. I feel like Instagram did this because they wanted to make Instagram a little bit more private.
More personal.
Well, I feel like they did it because they want people to like more pictures that they would have hesitated liking before.
Oh, okay.
So now you're talking about some creepers that you obviously have seen on there that have liked a bunch of stuff because they didn't care or they didn't know this existed.
Right.
But now that people are like, oh, nobody can see what I'm doing.
They can like and they can all the stuff.
Be like crazy.
Yeah. I mean, whatever. It's fine, but it's just, I think like they're going in a different direction. And so now I feel like it's harder to like discover stuff, you know?
Well,
like,
they have those explore pages, which,
right. But you have to like think about that.
You got to think about that. Yeah. I agree. I never use the following. I would maybe look at it once a year.
I didn't use it daily. I just occasionally would be like, okay. And then I would see like Rich DeMuro likes LA food something. I don't know. And then I'd be like, oh, that looks interesting.
I did discover one thing on Instagram, though, and this is really, it's a sad state of affairs with the whole influencer culture and the whole everything.
Yeah.
And you can do this on Instagram in a million different ways, but if you just look at the similar pictures to whatever you're looking at, like let's say you go to a cool restaurant that's in Los Angeles that has a cool Instagram wall. Well, if you tap the location, the place on Instagram, you will see your same exact picture taken 1,000 different times from 1,000 different people. It's all the same. There's nothing unique. It's really sad. Mm-hmm. You think you're being so cool by getting this cool angle or whatever.
Like that pink wall on
anything.
Melrose.
Exactly. Take your pick. It's all been done.
Yeah.
And the other thing, and this is my other new trick on Instagram, is that if you go to the Explore page and you look at anything that's interesting on the Explore page, like here is this new phone that's like this weird looking phone. And literally I just scroll up, and this one, of course, is not really working because it's too new. But let's say you just like look at a picture of an iPhone. It says the perfect case. It will literally just, you scroll up and it's the same thing over and over. Same thing with influencers. Oh. Let's say you like a fitness influencer. Scroll up after you tap on their picture and you'll see 1,000 of the same type of fitness influencers. It's all the same.
It's so crazy.
So anyway.
There's so much out there.
There's nothing new on Instagram. Anyway.
Yeah.
All right. You got a question for us, Megan?
Yes, I do. This first question, Concepcion wrote in on richontech.tv. If you ever want to send Rich a question, you just go to richontech.tv and just click the contact page. So Concepcion writes, Dear Rich, on October 5th, I downloaded the latest update for my iPhone 8. And then he said that the bedtime feature is always on the alarm screen, his bedtime alarm, and he can't get rid of it. And so his concern is that he might accidentally activate it. My concern is I may accidentally activate it. What do you suggest? I'm a big fan of you. So I guess...
Are you saying that or is that still...
No, that's what...
Concepcion.
That was definitely...
Okay. I didn't know if you switched back to Megan. Okay.
Yeah. No.
The bedtime in the in iOS 13, bedtime is now in the forefront. So when you go to your alarms, it is now on the alarm page at the top. And that does freak out a lot of people because nobody uses bedtime. They don't really. Do you use it?
No.
No, nobody does except me. I love bedtime. I will tell you why.
Why?
Because when you set.
How many alarms I have?
I know, me too.
No, but like I have like. Every minute.
Oh my gosh, you really like have trouble really waking up. Bad. Somehow Megan got the alarms go by like the 30-second mark. The reason why bedtime is so great is because when you set a bedtime alarm, the alarm gradually comes on. So normal alarm on the iPhone is like that.
Yeah.
Bedtime starts out soft. And it gently gets louder.
Beep.
Yes. And so I love that. For that feature alone, it is worth the price of admission. Take the time to set up bedtime. I also think that it's easier to set the alarm for bedtime because you just use the slider. And you can also see how much time you're going to sleep. So what happens is when I get into bed at, sadly, really early in the night, I will put my wake-up time, which is generally really early, and then I'll put the little slider and see if I have maybe like 15 minutes to kind of like surf, you know, Instagram before I go to bed because I'm like, oh, cool. I'm getting 6 hours and 45 minutes of sleep if I go to sleep at 9 p.m.
Right.
Versus 8:30 or 9:30.
I do the same thing, like in my brain.
In
though.
Your brain, though. But this does it all for it. Calculates it for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So anyway, Concepcion, I think that's how, I don't know.
I think
is that
it
how
is,
we
but
say
he,
the name?
There's no C. Conception?
Oh, Conception. Oh,
but like, I feel like Concepcion.
Yeah, maybe. Well, we don't know.
Sorry, we try. You
know, we try. So I say embrace the bedtime, and you can turn it off, but you're not going to get it off that main screen. Let me see. If I turn it off fully, does it go off the main screen? No, it's still going to be there. So I think Apple's just trying to put this on the main screen so that more people use it and realize, try it out. If you haven't tried bedtime, just try it.
I'll try it.
It's a little complicated because it looks intimidating because you have to set like every day that you want it to come up, and you might say, well, I have different alarms for different days.
Right. That's...
But just go in every night, and before you go to bed, just hit bedtime and move the slider to the time you want to wake up. Mm-hmm. It tells you how long you get to sleep, which is really nice.
I love that
feature.
So you can set a different alarm for every day.
Well, you just have to go in manually and do it. You can't automatically set it. But you just use a little slider. It's easy. Like if I want to wake up at 4 a.m. tomorrow, boom, and I can go to bed at 8 p.m.
Oh, nice.
Knowing that I get 8 hours of sleep.
I like that.
So yeah, some people can do that math in their head, but it's really nice. And again, the main benefit to me is the fact that you can get that gradual alarm. Mm-hmm. I don't care what time you're waking up. Nobody wants to be blared awake.
No.
In fact, a lot of people are switching to these lights that gradually come up because I think there's a lot of health research that says you don't want to be like rocked awake.
No.
You want to be gently awoken.
Well, back in the day, when we used to just sleep right when the sun went down.
Exactly.
We woke up when, you know, sunrise.
People didn't
happened.
Have to work for a living.
Yeah.
Get up,
they
go
just,
outside.
You know, hunted.
Yeah. And go kill
and
some animal.
Gathered.
And, yeah.
Yeah. And they slept like 12 hours. Right?
12 hours.
I mean, if the sun sets at 6 p.m. and then the sun rises at like 6 a.m.
Yeah.
They probably slept a lot more.
Some good advice from Mashable on password recovery questions. Every website nowadays seems like it's getting more and more complicated when it comes to setting your password. And I think people are hip to the fact that they don't really log in using Facebook or Instagram or Facebook or Twitter anymore or Google. Twitter was there for a minute, but most of the time it's either Facebook and Google as a login. I generally don't recommend using those as a login. Recommend using a unique password and your, you know, email address for every website. And if you don't know how to do this or if it's too much work, you know, maybe invest in one of these password programs, which LastPass is a really good one. 1Password is another one, and also Dashlane is another one that I really like. Mm-hmm. And the advice from Mashable, Jack Morse writing in Mashable, I love this advice. He says, do not answer those stupid questions that they ask you to recover your account truthfully. Because a lot of times, like especially United Airlines, it's ridiculous. It's like literally,
oh,
what's your
gosh.
Favorite flavor of ice cream?
Yeah.
It's like, okay, for 99% of people are going to put vanilla or chocolate.
It's so, there has to be a better way.
So choose an answer that is not your true answer. It's off the cuff. And also with friends, a lot of people like, what street did you grow up on? Like,
people
I know that.
Yeah.
For some people.
So pick weird things.
So pick weird things and write in weird answers. Now, you might be saying, well, Rich, how am I going to remember these weird answers? Two ways to do it. I sometimes take a screenshot of the random answers that I make up for these questions, which can work, but then you have to keep track of the screenshot.
Yeah.
What he's recommending, and this is actually a little bit smarter, and I do this as well, inside these password managers, the big ones, you can leave a note associated with a website.
Oh,
so in addition
nice.
To your password, you can say like first car. Everyone that knows your first car. That's a good friend. Now,
yeah.
I hope your good friends aren't hacking into your accounts. But my point is, okay, that was scary. But the point is,
kidding.
You don't want to, you know, it's like,
hard.
It's like there's only so much information about you that's personal that people
yeah.
don't know.
Right.
If you've been around for a while, people know a lot of stuff about you.
Yeah.
So good advice from Jack. Make up those random answers and then just keep it in one of the secure notes on your password manager. And you might be saying, Rich, but if someone hacks my password manager, they get all this stuff. Well, you got to secure the password manager.
Yeah,
and big time.
Pick a really discreet password. 5X12429 1. That is Rich's password.
But use that password, but also use two-factor authentication. And the app I recommend for that is Authy, Authy. Again, you got to have multiple layers of this stuff because you gotta keep on your toes with this because there's just people out there every day that are trying to get this stuff.
I mean, like, why are we working on the autonomous car when we should be working on the fingerprint reader for all things?
I'm all about that. Whatever happened to that? Why did we stop
like,
doing
that's
that?
That's how, I yeah. mean, the fact, yeah.
Like, I mean, the face unlock.
Maybe that's our side job.
But face unlock has been on the iPhone for a couple of years now.
So you should face
why
unlock
aren't websites,
everything.
Like,
yeah.
able to tap into that? Maybe for security reasons they can't.
Maybe.
I don't know. All right, Megan.
Okay.
We're not going to solve the world's problems right now.
Next
you got
time.
A question?
Yes. This next question is pretty straightforward. It's from Kim, and she wants to know, does your book have a section on how to keep your iPhone and other accounts secure?
Oh, my God. We just talked about that. Kim, were you not listening? Oh, wait. She doesn't know because she...
If anything, I wasn't listening.
You weren't listening.
Did you say that your book has a section?
No,
though?
The book does not. The thing is, the book 101 iPhone Tips and Tricks available now on Amazon, paperback and ebook. It's all about iOS 13. I do talk about privacy in the book a lot because mm-hmm. there are so many new privacy features in iOS 13, and there's also a lot of privacy considerations in general nowadays. I feel like everything comes down to privacy. So is there a certain section of the book? No, but will you be smarter about privacy when you use the book? I think so. And I think the main thing with privacy comes down to understanding what apps are trying to get a hold of when they're, you know, like my wife came up to me the other day and she's like, what's this? And she shows me that new screen. You haven't downloaded iOS 13 yet, so you haven't seen it. But it's a screen that gives little blue dots on a map of all the places that you've gone and all the times that an app has accessed your location.
Oh, I'm excited.
And it's really scary because you're really like, why is Dark Sky accessing my location in all these different places? And I said, well, Dark Sky has a feature that tells you when it's about to rain. And that's why it wants to know where you are at all times, so it can tell you that. If
but
you don't,
can't they sell that data?
Well, usually the privacy policy of a lot of them, they don't. Like Dark Sky, I don't think sells that data, but
don't
yes, they could.
Dark Sky is like the...
It's a cool app for the weather. It's a cool weather app.
Cool.
And what its main thing is that it tells you when it's going to rain, wherever you are. It'll say light drizzle starting right now in 2 minutes.
Oh,
and all of a sudden, you'll go outside and light drizzle. And that's their kind of magic. But they need to know where you are at all times for that magic. Citizen, another app that we talk about all the time.
Love it and
scary,
hate it.
Scariest. If you just want to be scared about where you live, just download Citizen, put it on your phone.
You will freak.
You will just hear about every armed robbery within 5 feet of you. It's insane.
Guy with gun down the block. And you're like, okay.
Right. Take cover.
Yeah.
And that app, again, needs your location at all times so it can tell you about the scariest stuff happening literally steps away from you.
It's really.
That's what
I mean,
it's all
we're
about.
In LA, so.
There's always something scary. Always,
especially like Hollywood.
Oh,
there's
my gosh.
Always like, you know, crazy man running with like.
No, it's like naked
chicken
running.
Knife.
Yes, with knife.
Chicken and knife.
Yeah, it's crazy. It really is. But anyway, it's a great app. But it needs to know your location so that it can understand where you are and tell you all the scary stuff that's happening around you. Mm-hmm. If you don't want that, in iOS 13, the first time that little thing pops up, just say don't allow. Or you can say only allow while using the app. So in iOS 13, you have the option for almost every app, I think it's every app now, to either allow location once or only when the app is open, which is kind of nice. And then the other thing is Bluetooth that all the apps are asking for. We've covered that in a previous podcast, but every app wants access to your Bluetooth as well. If it doesn't need it, don't give it the access. That's what you need to know. Let's see. What should I talk about next? HoloRide. This is an interesting little experience that I did yesterday. It is the Bride of Frankenstein HoloRide. This is a VR experience in a car. You sit in the back seat of a car, you put on a VR headset, and you ride in this car while you're in VR.
Like a ride.
It's so weird. Don't call it a ride.
I know.
Whatever you do.
Don't call it a
ride. Lots of restrictions around this one, but I did this
ride. We won't get into
that. Yeah. It's about 5 to 7 minutes. It's basically an Oculus Rift, I don't think they call it Oculus Rift anymore. I think it's just Oculus headset.
Yeah.
Off the shelf kind of stuff. But here's the thing. They kind of buried the lead on this whole thing. It's not a new ride at Universal Studios. It is what this company thinks is the future of backseat entertainment. Did you ever have a car with like the DVD player in the back?
And a VCR.
VCR? You had that?
Yeah,
so you watch
like
Disney movies on the road trips with your family?
Yeah, up to Arrowhead.
Yeah?
Yeah. Like good times.
We never had that in our car.
The VCR.
Or the DVD.
Well, you have
one.
iPads.
Well, now there's iPads.
Yeah.
But so this company, HoloRide, seems to think that the next generation is going to just put on a VR headset and the parents are in the front seat driving, you know.
Kids are literally on a roller coaster in
right.
the back. That's actually kind of really fun.
Yeah, it's really fun if you don't throw up all over the back seat.
That also would be me.
And I will tell you that you did not do this, which you should have, by the way.
I watched him do it.
Yeah. Megan was holding the camera, so it was tough for her to do it.
Yeah.
But it was rough. I don't get car sick or motion sick, but I walked out of there being like,
something's going to happen.
Yeah. So,
well, also they said, you won't get sick.
Yeah. Well, I think the quote in the actual press release says it reduces motion sickness. So they definitely know it's a problem. Oh, yeah. Significant. Okay. HoloRide technology provides a new type of immersion into any kind of VR content, creating a breathtaking immersive experience and significantly reducing motion sickness. So they know that motion sickness is a part of this thing.
Mm-hmm.
But with that said, this is totally free. You don't take my word for it. Go try it out and see. Don't be scared. Like, you got to try it.
Yeah.
But it's a 5 to 7 minute ride. It's this whole thing where like you're in the back seat, you're shooting at monsters that come at you. The Bride of Frankenstein is sitting in the seat in front of you. It's cool. It wasn't the best VR I've ever done. If you want the best VR, by far, it's called Dreamscape, and it's at Westfield Century City and at a bunch of other malls in America. Mm-hmm. That's the best VR experience I've ever seen.
That I still need to do.
You got to do that one, too. Just call them up and tell them you want to do it, because you should.
Initially, for this story, though, when we were going into it, I thought that it was going to be more scary. Like, the footage I saw that you experienced, I thought, like, monsters were going to run up to you. And, like, I mean, it's Halloween time. So, like, you know. But that wasn't as scary.
No, it was. I thought there was going to be things that came out at you. Mm-hmm. The only thing that really, at one point, and you see on my Instagram, at Rich on Tech, you can see where I kind of jump. It is the beginning where the bride jumps into the car.
Yeah.
I'm not really giving things away. You know that's going to happen. Yeah. I knew that was going to happen without even knowing. And then at the end
of
it.
But you're like, whoa.
Yeah. And in the whole thing, you're just shooting at these monsters.
Yeah.
I thought that there was going to be kind of like a story arc and different things, and there wasn't. It never really evolved. So anyway, do I think it's bad technology? No, I think it's really cool, and I do think that will be a part of the future. Is it there just yet? Probably not.
Yeah.
And I also had a theory that I thought that VR on a plane would be kind of the coolest use of VR, because you're locked in this seat, you're locked in this tube, traveling at 600 miles an hour. What are you going to do? People watch movies on the plane. Mm-hmm. So if you can have a movie that's giant in front of your face because of VR, even cooler. It's like being in a private theater.
Like, it would make you feel like you're in a theater?
Yeah, like a private movie theater with a giant screen. So I did do this. I watched a movie on the plane. I thought they were going to kick me off the plane, because it was so like
weird.
Creepy to see this guy like taking out his headset and putting in the thing.
Like, whoa. Yeah.
And then I set up a GoPro in front of me so I can get some video.
This guy's a freak.
They're like, who is this
weirdo? You're like, live streaming.
Yeah. And so that I watched half of the movie before I kind of got sick.
You also got sick.
Well, the headset got really hot. I didn't get sick, but the headset got really hot.
They have to work on that. They got to add little fans.
A lot of things to work on with this stuff.
Yeah.
So. Anyway.
I think VR is really cool, though.
What have you done VR?
Not a lot, but I thought there's this whole thing about empathy VR, like helping people like understand. I mean, it's like deep stuff, but
I don't know if I'm ready for that.
It's like the future of like journalism and teaching people about like what's going on in like certain countries.
Oh,
like,
okay.
There are like these VR experiences in like Syria, and you can like walk around
in, like,
and
third world
it immerses
country.
You yeah to help you like understand.
You just like, instead of getting sick, you just cry at the end.
They have some program at USC and it's like the film school
ICT. They
I
do a lot
so.
With soldiers with that, like military.
Yeah.
It's in Playa. We did a story with them a long time ago.
You should do a follow-up.
Well, they do it. In fact, that's what they did. The empathy training was basically, it was something like, you know, because a lot of these soldiers come back or military, and it's like, it's tough for them to adjust to everyday life because of PTSD and all this stuff.
Yeah.
So this thing that we saw that I think they took me through, it's been a while, but I remember it like helping them understand that not, you know, every loud sound isn't affecting them. You know what I mean? It was that kind of stuff. It's pretty interesting. And then there's like a job interview where the person was a veteran and they were kind of seeing how to deal with that. If you're an interviewee, you know, like that kind of stuff. I think VR, don't get me wrong, is going to be the future of everything. Mm-hmm. Like Hilton Hotels, Ritz-Carlton, they will have a hotel in virtual reality that you take a vacation at.
Wow.
You won't have to go to Cabo anymore, Megan, every weekend.
Yeah, I can just go into an
just you literally go in your
reality.
Room, open up that tequila,
but then how do you
sip
take
it by
pictures?
Yourself.
You're like, here's me, and you're like in a blank room.
Yeah. No, it'll put you in the room, in the thing. You'll just like snap, like close your eyes.
Okay.
And be like, 1, 2, 3,
well,
snap.
I feel like it'd be good for like elderly people that can't go.
There's
to
so
like,
many again there's yeah, so many so, applications
so many applications All right, so this next question comes from Erin. She wrote on your Facebook, hi Rich, now that iTunes is a thing of the past, should/could the app be deleted?
Wait, what?
I think she doesn't understand that you have to update your computer.
Okay, well, that's a good segue.
The
Mac OS Catalina stuff.
I've had a lot of people I've had one person ask me, what happens to my iTunes? Like,
So here's the thing. Yeah. She's referring to Mac OS Catalina, which is now available for your desktop computer. I don't recommend that you download it right away, because it's not like it adds like crazy new features that you need like today. Like, I am a tech person. I'm not updating my computer for a couple weeks because I need a program. I'm going to New York next week and I need to have the use of my full computer and I don't want any surprises. Now, do I want to update? Of course I do. I love updates. But I want to make sure that everything works and all the little apps I have, you know, all these, you forget about the one little thing that you need on your computer and all of a sudden it doesn't work and now you're frustrated and you got to wait for a software update for everything to get fixed.
Yeah.
That software update can come from Apple or it can come from the third party manufacturer of the program or the developer. And either one, it just is annoying to wait. So
yeah,
just wait a little bit while things get worked out. But macOS Catalina, what she was referring to is it, there's no more iTunes on it per se. It is now Apple Music, Apple Podcasts, and Apple TV. And those are three apps that are on your computer. Will all your iTunes purchases be there? Yes. All your music will be in the Apple Music app. All of your TV shows and movies will be in Apple TV. So it's still there. It's just not in iTunes.
And if you have an iTunes gift card,
that'll still work.
That still works. It's part of your Apple account, and you can use that movies or Apple TV. Yeah, it doesn't go away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just don't, I mean, I think that Apple is, on the desktop at least, I mean, I don't know if a lot of people rent movies on their desktop, but most people, I think, maybe use like Apple TV or their iPad. So it's not as much. I mean, you could still access the Apple TV store or the iTunes store through Apple Music or through Apple TV, you know, the app.
Yeah.
It's confusing because it's called Apple TV, even though there is a physical piece of hardware called Apple TV, but there's now also an app called Apple TV.
Yeah, that's confusing.
Very confusing.
Yeah.
And then there's a third-party app called Apple TV that runs on like Sony TVs.
Well, isn't it Apple TV Plus?
Well, that's their subscription service, which is part of Apple TV, the app which can also run on Apple TV, the hardware.
When is Apple TV Plus launching?
November 1st. Can't wait. Going to watch that new show with what's her name?
The Morning Show.
Well, that one too, but no. Oh. What's the other one? What's the girl that...
Haley Steinfeld?
Yeah, Haley Steinfeld.
Is it going to be like...
Steinfeld?
I thought it was
Steinfeld. Steinfeld, okay.
I think. Seinfeld.
Haley Steinfeld. No, Haley Steinfeld. Haley Steinfeld. Yeah, Steinfeld.
Okay, so I was right.
She's in the new show.
Is it all episodes like available to watch immediately?
We don't know yet. Sounds like Apple might not do that.
Might
we
be
don't
week
know.
To week?
We don't know.
I feel like they should do that week to week if they want people to keep it, you know?
Well, everyone that's getting Apple TV Plus for the first year is, they're all freebies. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think anyone's subscribing. I think it's all the people that bought iPhones and the Apple devices.
They have to hook us.
Yeah. They got to hook you up.
Bait and switch.
No, I think it's going to be good. I mean, look, all these services, if you find one show that you like on them, like what did I watch the other? Okay, we watched on HBO, we watched Halloween. Have you heard of that? It's like an old school movie and they keep doing like new versions of it.
Like Michael Myers Halloween? Yes, I've
So there's like
that.
A new version of it with like Jane, who's the actress? Jamie Lee Curtis?
Yeah.
So anyway, it came out last year. I didn't even know about this, but I'm browsing.
Oh, I need to watch that.
I'm browsing.
It's the new Halloween.
Yes.
Yes.
But it's on HBO. Like, which I get as part of my DirecTV Now, which I pay $50 a month for. So to me, just watching that one movie is like a $6 value. So I like mark it off in my head. I'm like, all right, $44 to go. To
is get it my, really $50 a month?
Yeah, but I get every channel for that, which is actually, it's like 180
you're
channels.
Talking about your service in general.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
HBO Go is not.
And then if I watch one USC game on a weekend or four in a month and I'm watching it on Fox Sports or one of these ESPNs, I am in my head mark off another $5.
Right.
So by the end of the month, if I've used and my kids watch, you know,
Disney
or Nick, I'm like, okay, that was another $5. So at the end of the month, if I'm like $25.
I can see you like walking around, you're like, all right, $5.
Yeah.
Check it off the list.
It's kind of a mental thing.
Yeah.
And then Netflix, what did I watch on Netflix? I watched two things. On my last trip, I watched that documentary, Social Animals.
Oh, yeah. I have to watch that.
And then
that.
I watched a scary movie that was really terrible, which was okay. It was called, like, House on Witch Hill or The Witch House or something.
Haunted House on Hill Street?
No, was not that.
Was it a series?
Nope. It was a movie.
Okay.
It was, like, a terrible B-movie that you would never watch, but because it's free on Netflix, of course, you watch it.
Got it.
So to me, those two things were worth the $16 I pay for Netflix.
There's actually a show on Netflix, which everyone was obsessed with last year, called The Haunted House on Hill Street. And it's actually like an amazing series. Like everyone was obsessed with it. So if you need another thing to ding off your list, that show's really good.
Okay.
I might like rewatch it because I want to get into the Halloween spirit.
The spirit, the
but
mood.
It's like deep.
Yeah. Okay. I don't want that.
Well, okay.
All right, let's see. What other features on macOS Catalina? They've got Sidecar, which is a new feature that makes your iPad a secondary display, which is kind of cool. There used to be an app, or there still is, called Duet, which does something similar, but now it's just built into macOS. And now there are third-party apps, like iPad apps, that are in the Mac App Store. So one of them that I'm excited for is called TripIt. mm-hmm. which is kind of cool. And TripIt I use to organize all my travel. Now it's available as a desktop app.
Oh, cool.
And you also have Apple Arcade for $5 a month, which I'm doing the free trial of right now. So, yeah. Speaking of all this stuff, Tile, who is, I think Tile is a little concerned for what's happening with Apple, because Apple, the rumor is that they're coming out with their own Tile. Are you familiar with this product?
Isn't it like a tracking device?
Yeah, exactly.
And but so, for what?
For anything.
For kids?
Anything. You can basically attach it to anything you want, and it will use a combination of Bluetooth and then crowdsourced Bluetooth to find your stuff. So let me explain. So let's say you have a little Tile in your purse because you, you know, want to keep track of your purse. So you have an app on your phone that will ping this little thing in your purse that has a little battery in it, and it will be like, oh, your purse is, I don't know if it just maybe makes a sound, or if it tells you like it's in your house because it tells you how far away it is, something like that.
Yeah.
That's fine. That's one way of finding it. But let's say you leave your purse at work and you're at home and you're like, wait, where's my purse? Well, how would it find? Because Bluetooth only has a certain range. Mm-hmm. So then what Tile does is it looks to see if anyone has a Tile app installed on their phone nearby your purse. Mm-hmm. And it will ping the Bluetooth from their phone to your device. And it'll be like, oh, we found it over here. Here's a location because it's going through someone else's phone.
Yeah.
So that is great as long as someone has Tile installed on their device near your Tile. If they don't, then you're kind of screwed. So what Apple is doing, they are building in this Tile functionality to all of their devices, which, by the way, there's an iPhone or an iPad or a MacBook around almost everything in the world.
So a Tile could work with an iPhone?
No, not the Tile. Apple's upcoming Tile knockoff.
Which is going to be called the...
Tile knockoff from Apple.
Okay.
Tracker. Tile. Apple Tracker. Who knows?
Poor Tile.
Yeah, poor Tile. Thank you. So I explained that well.
Do they even like buy the whatever, the rights?
I don't know. It's just so sad that Apple... It's kind of nice that Apple's doing
business.
This, but they should have just bought Tile and just integrated them.
Yeah, I agree.
With that said...
Hey, maybe they put out an offer and Tile said no.
Yeah.
So
I doubt it, but probably. So Tile has a couple of new devices that they're still kicking. They're still doing stuff, even though they know in like 3 weeks everyone's going to be laid off.
Aw, so sad.
So Tile has Tile Sticker. This is the thinnest, it's literally a sticker you put on stuff. And it has a 3-year battery life and 150-foot range. And it can be attached to almost anything. They work with 3M to make this adhesive that you can stick on stuff. I think that one sounds awesome because you can stick it to things.
Yeah.
Then you've got Tile Slim, which is a credit card shape, which you can put in your wallet if you're a guy mm-hmm. or a girl, mm-hmm. whatever.
Yeah.
No gender bias here. Do whatever you want.
Put it wherever you want.
Yeah. It's just a slim credit card shape, and that has a 200-foot range, which is 2 times the range of the last Slim. That also works for 3 years. Then they've got their most powerful finder on the market with a 400-foot range of Bluetooth, which is the Mate and Pro. Hmm. So anyway, the sticker is $39.99 for a 2-pack, $60 for a 4-pack. These things are expensive.
Wow. Yeah, they are.
But it lasts for 3 years. That's the downside of Tile. So when Tile first came out, I got it, of course, because I thought it was so cool. Mm-hmm. And then I switched over to another one that was a user replaceable battery. I forget. I think it went out of business. But Tile is kind of the thing. But the problem with the Tile is that when the battery runs out, it's kind of
Buy a new one?
You have to buy a new one.
Oh, see, that's...
Not user replaceable. I think you can send them in. I think as my battery was going dead, they kept sending me emails saying, hey, we'll give you a new one for 50% off if you send us the old one.
Okay.
I think they could pop it open and replace the battery.
Got it.
So that's...
What did you buy? What kind of a Tile?
It was the standard. It was just the Tile. I don't know if it was whatever it was.
What did you use it on?
I put out my keychain and one on Lindsay's keychain, and then I put one in my luggage.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, the one time I needed it because I was wondering where my keys were, I fired it up at the parking spot by LAX. And no joke, 1,000 Tiles came up because everyone has these things on their keys. So it was kind of funny. People are using them.
Yeah.
But I never lost my stuff to the extent of I needed the app to find it.
Yeah. Do they make a Tile that you can put on like a mug?
That would be probably the sticker probably would stay.
My dad always loses his mug.
Does he really?
Like he'll like put it somewhere and then be like, where's my coffee mug?
I think actually I might try to do the Tile again. I feel like it's so many people have them.
Yeah.
Although I got to wait for the Apple one to come out because when Apple comes out, game over.
I mean,
there's literally an iPhone
you're a diehard
everywhere.
Apple.
You know me.
Apple dude.
Only Apple, all day, every day. I'm just kidding, folks.
We're going to stay with the theme, I think, because I actually...
Don't tell me it's more Apple.
Do you really not?
Go ahead.
Okay. Josephine. She wrote in on richontech.tv and she said, what happened to the Series 4 watch? Online, Apple is selling the 5 and the 3, but not the 4.
Well, I will tell you what happened to the Apple Watch Series 4. It has been replaced by the Apple Watch Series 5. And that's the deal. So when Apple comes out with these new devices, they get rid of the old one. And they do this weird thing where they skip a device. So you've got the Apple 3 on sale, the watch, and then you've got the 5. But the 4 has 99% of the functionality of the 5, except for the always-on display.
I want the 4.
But you can't get the 4. So I actually think for you, you probably only need the 3. Because you don't need fall detection.
But then that feels really old.
I agree. But that's how they get the price to be that magical under $200.
Yeah.
But I will say, Lindsay still wears the Series 3. It works just fine.
Yeah.
The thing that it doesn't have fall detection. It does not.
I might need that. Yeah. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Getting a little old here.
Falling all over the place.
You're almost 25, you know. You got to watch out.
Oh, you said my age.
Oh, are you? I don't even know how old you are. I have no idea.
I'm 24.
You are? Okay.
Yeah.
See, I had no idea.
Yeah. But you guessed, right?
Well, I was guessing you're under 30. I didn't know.
Oh, okay.
But
that's
fine.
I don't.
But you're getting up there.
Yeah. I'm almost as old as you.
Still got a couple of years to do that.
Yeah.
Series 3 has GPS. That's like, I think that was the first one they added GPS on. Maybe I'm wrong, but anyway, so I think Series 3 is just fine. The main features you do not get is the compass. You do not get the always on display. And I think, let's see, you don't get the ECG, so you can't take your heart rate. You can take your heart rate. You can't take your heart ECG, which is like your, I don't know, you know, like an ECG.
Active heart rate?
No, not active heart rate. It's like your, how's your heart doing kind of thing.
Oh,
You'll see your heart rate on the screen.
Yeah.
But you just, ECG is when you hold your finger on the side and it literally takes like a reading of like the electrical impulses from your heart.
That's the 4, right?
This is the 4, yeah.
But you're going to get the 5? So I'll just buy yours from
everything I've heard about the 5 is that
it sucks.
No, the screen, the always on display is sapping the battery. And the battery on the Apple Watch will last a day. What you need, but, and I, to be honest, like there's only now, the only reason I think about the always on display is because I don't have it now. And I know it's a thing now, but there's only a couple times when you're like at the gym or literally when your hand is on the table and you don't want to move any part of your body to see what the time is, right?
Yeah.
And so you like do this little thing and you kind of like move your arm just the minimum it can go before it lights up. And
it does.
Yeah. So it's not that big of a deal. And other times when you're like running, you got to like tap it to turn it on.
Yeah.
It's not that big of a deal.
It's not that big of a
deal. But anyway, you can't get that anymore. So you have the 3 or the 5. The 3 starts at 200. The 5 starts at 400.
But isn't there a place I can go to find the 4?
Yeah, but why do you want it? Just get the 5. That has the newest stuff. Even though I think the processor in the 5 is the same as the 4. But
okay,
anyway.
Josephine, I feel your pain.
But those are your choices, Josephine. Sorry.
Josephine.
Let's talk about, since we've talked so much Apple, let's talk about Google. They have a new feature. By the way, Google event next week
in
New York City.
It's
I am very
so much
excited.
Fun
depending
for
on when
you
listen. Yes, it is going to be very fun.
Yeah.
So depending on when you listen to this, the Google event is happening. Maybe it's already happened, but I personally am very excited because I am very fond of the Pixel smartphone, and Apple or Google just does like the best camera ever. And so I'm just curious. We've seen so many leaks about this new device. I'm curious like what it's actually going to do. I'm curious to see the wide-angle lens on or ultra-wide on the Pixel 4.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious to see if they've improved anything else because I'll be honest, as a creator's device, the iPhone still wins every day with the Samsung device a close second. And I say a close second. The Samsung device is actually perfect as a creator's device. The problem is really with the apps. And I was explaining this to a friend the other day. I'll just say my friend's name, Chris Martinez, who works here.
Oh, yeah.
We always debate this kind of stuff because he's like, dude, when are you switching back to Android? And I'm like, I can't because here's the deal. iPhone apps are just better at when you're trying to do content creation. Like when I upload stuff to Instagram and when I do stuff on Facebook, it just works better on the iPhone.
Yeah.
Not to say you can't do it. So if you're not considering any of that stuff, it doesn't matter. like get the Pixel or get the Samsung. But when you're trying to do stuff like I'm doing, which is like responding to people's DMs all the time and, you know.
I'm like, wait, he gets like one DM.
No,
a day
I get DMs
same,
all day long.
It's the same person.
All day long. You have no idea how many DMs I get.
Okay. Okay.
I get a lot. And the scariest ones, and I don't know if you've ever gotten one of these, but they blur, like if you're not following that person, they blur the picture to protect your privacy.
Oh.
You ever seen this?
No.
Okay. Well, they do it for a reason.
Thank God.
Yeah, exactly. They do that for a reason. And I'm always like, oh God, here we go.
Do what you open it?
Sometimes. If
Rich.
If the, well, it depends on the message.
Always.
Yeah. Instantly. No, it depends on the message.
Yeah.
If I can tell if someone's like, hey, can you, this my camera keeps closing on my phone and there's a screenshot attached. I kind of know what's going
what's
on.
What's coming.
There. Yeah. But otherwise.
I just feel like it can go so wrong.
Of course it can. That's why they do that. But
yeah.
They actually, I think there's two levels. It's first 100% blacked out and then it's smoothed out.
Never had this.
Yeah. I can't believe you've never seen this.
Anyway. I'm glad, though.
So let me talk about the Google
yes.
New features on Google that we know today, even though there's going to be a whole bunch next week. But the main thing that they've done is with music, you can now switch your music to different speakers. And I will be honest, I tried to give Google a fair shot at being my whole house audio, even though you know I'm a big fan of Sonos.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did. I finally grouped all my little players and all the different rooms, the little Google Homes and all the stuff I've collected over the years. And I figured out that, yeah, you can play music to all of those. It was fine, but it wasn't as good as Sonos. And I'll tell you why. The music was delayed in other rooms.
Oh.
The magic of Sonos is that when you're playing a whole bunch of speakers all at once in your home, everything is perfectly synced up. And that's been the magic of Sonos since day one.
Yeah.
Google Home, it was good, but I could tell when I was shifting from room to room, the music was slightly delayed in other rooms. And I could hear it. For like one ear was in the living room, one ear was in the dining room, and you can hear the music was not in sync 100%. That's really not fun.
Yeah.
Now, if you have a
that
party in your house,
fun.
You probably wouldn't notice because
right.
it wouldn't be as silent. But when you're by yourself, most of the time, like I am.
When you're, yeah, that's your life.
Yeah.
I mean.
when you're pretty much.
Your face just now is just like so sad. You're like smiling really big when I'm always alone at home
yeah.
between the hours of 12 o'clock and 4 o'clock.
Yes.
Just twiddling, twiddling my thumbs.
It's scary that you know that.
I mean, it's not hard to figure out.
So now you can say to Google, hey, you know who, move the music to the living room speaker. Or so if you're starting it in one room
yeah.
in your office, let's say, you can move that music to a different speaker, which is kind of cool, and it will pick up the music.
Hey, G.
Yeah. Hey, G. And then you can tap the cast button to see all the devices in your home or select the group of devices you'd like to play your music to or podcast. And yeah, I mean, that's basically it. Or now they say you can browse for your favorite YouTube videos or whatever on your Nest Hub Max. Tap the cast control on the screen and move it to your Chromecast. So complicated.
Yeah.
Disregard everything I'm saying about this stuff. Try this stuff out for yourself. I just tell you as a tech person what I've tried. And I tried grouping the speakers because I was like, huh, let me see. Can I group the speakers? What will they sound like? Try it in your house. Maybe it'll work. But it does work. So you can control them all from like Spotify, from Google Music. It's really cool. It's just not to the level of Sonos just yet. And I will say I did break down after that little experiment and I bought the Sonos Move speaker, which is their new Bluetooth speaker, which is, Bluetooth and wireless.
Mm-hmm.
So you can take it anywhere.
Yeah, to like the beach.
Anywhere. And it works and it's
yeah.
really cool. So
anywhere.
Anywhere you want. All right, that's going to do it for the show. Can you believe it, Megan?
No.
How'd it feel to be back in the saddle here?
It's great.
Yeah.
I missed it.
You did miss it. When you were in Cabo, were you just like,
yeah,
gosh, I wish I was doing
Thursday,
the podcast.
On Thursday, I was like, this is when I would be
You're
doing
like,
them.
Oh, Rich is probably doing the podcast right
I'm
now.
So Oh, actually, you did on Friday.
I did do it on Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how devastated I was.
Sorry.
Do you have a best thing of the week?
Yeah, I actually yesterday got to meet, so we have a lot of guests, obviously, at KTLA, and I got to meet this girl from The Bachelor. Her name's Becca Tilley, and she has a podcast that I listen to that I really like.
Okay.
And
what's
we
her
actually,
claim to fame, just being on The Bachelor?
She was on The Bachelor, and then she actually was on it twice.
So she was just a normal person.
Yeah. She's
before
from, like,
she was on.
She's from, like,
yeah,
I want to
you know
say,
exactly
like, Arkansas.
Where she is.
No, I genuinely
okay.
don't know.
All right.
But, she's like really cool. Like we literally talked for like 20 minutes and I was like, I feel like we're friends now.
Did you tell her that you're a big fan of the podcast?
Yes.
Okay.
I was like, the first thing I said to her, I was like, I listen to your podcast like every week.
She's
and
like,
she,
I hear that.
And so I feel like that probably creeped her out a little bit. I was like, I feel like I know you. And she was like, oh, like, yeah. And then we started talking about like normal stuff. like okay. really easily. But like there are other guests where you just, you know, like they don't want to really talk.
Yeah.
Or they're kind of just like in their own place. Yeah. But she like literally her and I and my friend Jen, we talked to her for a while.
Okay.
So yeah.
That's cool. So that was a good really thing. Cool. Yeah. And did you tell her you have a podcast? You should have been
I
like,
did not.
We should cross. What's that? What do they call it? Collab.
Yeah,
we should collab.
I know.
She's like, eh. Yeah. I did a seminar. Oh, I spoke or basically moderated a panel at a seminar, the Cairo seminar.
Oh,
I hope I'm saying that right. But it was great. It was in Long Beach over the weekend, and it was so great because it's not often that I leave my house, so I don't obviously get to meet anyone that I see from TV.
Right.
But it was really humbling to see so many people come up to me and obviously watch the segment. They probably know that I'm on KTLA. They probably don't know what I do, but they're like, oh, I've seen you somewhere. Aren't you on for like a second here and there?
Yeah.
But like, I'm a big fan of KTLA. And I'm like, oh, thank you. And they're like, and they're always like, tell someone I said hi. Cause they don't really know who I am, but they know I'm at KTLA, right?
So, I mean, they know you.
So they all come up and yeah, I'm kind of kidding. But anyway, it was really nice to see all these people that do watch, and we do make an impact because a lot of people watch KTLA.
Yeah.
And in our other stations, I get emails from all over the US from all of the other stations that our segment airs on as well. So that was really cool. And it just, it was like a good little, you know, like pump up where you're just like, oh, this is cool. Like I feel good.
Well, you had a fan come up to you, You had a guy come up to you when we were at Universal.
Yeah, I did. I think his name was Marcos.
Thanks for everything you do. And it was just so nice.
I know. I was like, what do I do? I don't really do anything. But
are you kidding? You.
I don't like. I mean, it's not like I'm like. I know, but I'm not like helping people. I mean, maybe, I guess, in a way.
I mean, yeah. I think you're helping people.
Helping you waste time.
On your phone.
All right. I do have a newsletter, the Rich on Tech newsletter. Subscribe at richontech.tv. I talk about all the cool stuff that you should know about, and I send you links to all the cool stories I've done and the little things that I think you should know. If you are listening to this podcast for the first time, please subscribe. You can do that in your favorite app. I don't even have to say podcast app anymore because all the major audio apps like Spotify and Pandora, they all have podcasts. So just find us anywhere. Search Rich on Tech. You can do that. My book is now available. It's called 101 iPhone Tips and Tricks. It's available on Amazon, both as an electronic version for the Kindle app and also as a paperback. That will make a great gift this holiday season. You can actually read the ebook for free if you sign up for Kindle Unlimited, which means my evil plan is to get you to read it for free and then to gift the hard or the paperback to someone for the holidays because you'll be like, oh my gosh, this was so good.
I need to get it.
Where has Rich been all my life? Thanks so much for listening. Producer Megan, where can people find you?
I'm on Twitter at Producer Megan. And yeah, I'm on Instagram too. But I mean, it's not really tech related, so.
No, it's not. If you take a look at the first picture, that's all I'm saying.
Oh.
I am on Twitter at Rich DeMuro and on Instagram at Rich on Tech and Facebook.com/Rich on Tech. We will meet you again right here next time.
That's right.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.